On a drizzly spring evening in 1893, in the French provincial city of Besançon, 19-year-old Louise Baron was walking along the riverside promenade when she crossed paths with a man wearing the dress uniform of the French army. His name was Joseph Vacher.
"Ugly weather, isn't it?"
he said, and automatically she responded, "For sure." Normally, Baron, tall and wholesome-looking, with curly blonde hair, would not have spoken to a stranger, especially one as brutish-looking as he. But Vacher projected a kind of disarming innocence, and the sergeant's chevrons on his sleeve reassured her. So they chatted and walked and shared dinner in a café. They learned that they both came from small towns. She from Baume-les-Dames, a pretty village near the Swiss border, and he from Beaufort, a nondescript hill town southeast of Lyon. As they lingered over shared stories about their pasts, he told her he had never felt this comfortable with anyone, and she, too, sensed she could speak freely and easily. Yet she felt a shiver of doubt when she looked up from her meal and saw his eyes burning into her. Later that evening, he ardently proposed marriage. When he vowed that he would kill her if she ever betrayed him, she realized she had made a terrible mistake. In the weeks that followed, he pursued her relentlessly. Like other men who live easily with violence, Vacher knew how to interweave threat, regret, self-pity, and charm in an attempt to prolong the relationship. Louise, who was a stranger to the town and worked as a housemaid, tried desperately to avoid him, inventing endless excuses for not being available. Once, taking pity as victims sometimes do, she agreed to meet him at a dance. They were standing awkwardly among the merrymakers when a soldier approached to talk to Louise. Vacher lunged at the man with such fury that the soldier and Louise ran from the dance hall. Now she knew that she would never be safe in the same town as Vacher. Too afraid to reject him directly, she made up a story that her mother had forbidden their marriage and had ordered her home. The distance did nothing to quell his obsession. He kept mailing her love letters. Finally, she responded in the clearest possible way. "It would be best if you stopped writing to me. Everything is finished between us. I do not want to go against the wishes of my mother. Furthermore, I do not love you. Adieu, Louise." She hoped that would finally end things between them. Besides, she knew that if he left his unit to find her, he would face charges of desertion. But her departure and final letter had sent him into such a series of rages that the regimental doctor diagnosed him as having nervous exhaustion and gave him a 4-month medical leave. He immediately headed to Baume-les-Dames, stopping to buy a revolver along the way. Any of the soldiers in Vacher's barracks would have told Louise not to get involved with the 23-year-old sergeant in the first place, for something wild and violent dwelled within him. They had witnessed his manias and explosive temper, how once, when a soldier lagged in formation, Vacher swiftly and without warning kicked him in the groin. Or how, during alcohol-induced tantrums, he would hurl heavy wooden bureaus across the room, roar like an animal, and rip handfuls of hair out of his forearms. Another time, when he was passed over for promotion, he drank himself senseless, tore apart the barracks, and slashed with a razor at anyone who came near. He ended the episode by taking the blade to his own throat. After that incident, he was hospitalized and transferred to another company. Yet at times, Vacher could appear deferential and, when necessary, even charming. Undoubtedly, he behaved that way when he first met Louise, although under the stress of rejection, the beast had reemerged.